Reading of the Easter Gospel. The Holy Gospel for the resurrection of our Lord is from St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. And the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The very first Easter sermon ever preached was preached by three women and their friends. Mary, another Mary, and Salome were their names. And they preached this sermon through their breathlessness. They were terrified as they ran from the empty tomb, and they could barely get the sermon out. And the very first congregation to hear an Easter sermon were the 11 disciples, those who were closest to Jesus, who'd seen him die and buried. How was this first sermon received? Listen to this. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. You see, the sermon was a dud. No one believed a word of it. There was only shock and disbelief. That was the order of the first Easter sermon, first Easter day. However, since this news has been sinking in with us for over 2,000 years, I think it's fair that now in 2019, the element of surprise is gone from Easter. When we all cried out at the beginning of the service, "Alleluia, Christ is risen," you all knew what to say. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We shouted what we were supposed to shout. We knew the words. We knew the text. We know the story. We proclaimed what is expected of us every Easter Sunday morning. There is joy today. Our service is a celebration. We gird our worship with rich music and colorful flowers and banners. No, we may not be surprised anymore by Easter, but we still, after all of these years, know how to bring joy to at least this day. Finding joy for one day is not really the problem for modern Easter people. Most of us can make joy happen once a year. Resurrection is the theme. It's always the theme of Easter. But what about tomorrow? What about the day after and the month after? Will we soon pack our resurrection joy away for another year, store away our banners and our pyramids and our flowers in the Easter section of the closet until next year? How do we live in this world after the resurrection? What difference does it make in the office or back at school or wherever we find ourselves in this world? That this morning we've cried out and we've sung out, "Christ is risen." And we are still living in this world. It's a hard world. We woke up this morning, many of us, with the news of another bombing in Sri Lanka. Hundreds of our fellow Christians doing exactly what we're doing today lost their lives. Doesn't seem that Easter has changed very much, has it? Many preachers and teachers claim that on Easter, Jesus inaugurated a new world, a new kingdom, and that nothing is the same anymore, but tomorrow morning it will be hard to notice the change. It will be back to the routine for most of us, Christian or not. Yes, we are here because we believe the resurrection is real, but how in the world do we live in this world as Easter people? Well, some choose different roads. Some choose the road of the pessimist. They say, Christ is risen. Now I've got my escape. This world is going down the drain, and Easter means that I have my escape hatch ready. My escape hatch from this rancid, messed up, and heartbreaking world. I can just attach myself to Jesus and get to heaven when I die, because this world is hopeless and beyond saving. The resurrection tells me that I've got my way out. Christ is risen. Now, Lord, get me out of here. Some choose the road of the pessimist. Others choose the opposite road, the road of the eternal optimist. Christ is risen, they say. Now all of humanity will be made right. Now we can all realize our inner potential. We can rise above the evil around us. Just as Jesus was raised, so we can recreate a new world. If we just stay positive, love each other, we can remake this world. So what should it be for Christians living in this world after Easter? Should we be optimists or should we be pessimists? The answer is neither. As one author explains, Christians can't be merely optimists because we know that this time and this world is in severe trouble, characterized by sinfulness, brokenness, evil, and idolatries. So we can't pretend naively that even though that if we give enough elbow grease or cooperation or goodwill or possibility thinking, that any of this will be enough to eventually help planet Earth sort itself out. We don't turn off the reality switch and bury our heads pretending things are as they should be, because this church believes that we, planet Earth, are in bondage to sin and we cannot free ourselves. So we can't just be blind optimists, but we can't be pessimists either, because Christian faith won't allow that. Because we confess that we have been given a picture of God's future, and as troubled as things are now, God is at work even in this present age. God is up to something and has not abandoned us. If we believe anything about God, then we must believe this. So back to the question of the day. Which is it? How do we live? I think there's a better name for us than optimist or pessimist. Christians are called to be hopeful realists. Hopeful realists. First part of that is we are realist. We are realistic. We see the world as it is. We don't live pessimistically, running and hiding or trying to escape. We don't give up on the world in despair. And at the same time, we're not blind optimists pretending that everything will be fine. Just close our eyes, choose some kind of artificial optimism that is not based on the facts that meet us every day. Easter people are neither. We are hopeful realists. Yes, we are realists. What else can we be? Do you remember what happened here on Friday? We saw on that day what we were capable of doing. And we are realists, but we are hopeful too. And when I say hopeful, I don't mean hopeful as in wishful thinking, because we carry with us a hope that does not come from within us. We carry with us a hope that comes from this Easter morning. It is a strange and foreign hope that we carry. It is a hope that comes from an empty tomb. It is a hope that doesn't come from within us, but beyond us. This hope comes to us as a gift. Hopeful realists. That's a name I think that fits us well, Easter people. Almost as soon as I first asked myself the question of the week, which was, how do we live in this world after the resurrection? I've carried in my head a bit of an unusual image. It is the image of Christians Christians of all shapes and sizes. And in this image, we are all running out of the same place. We are running out of the empty tomb on Easter morning, and we are running out in all directions. And there's only one thing that marks us, only one thing that sets us apart, and every one of these Christians carries with them a little word on their back and in their heart, almost like in a backpack, if you can imagine. And all of these Christians are on a mission. They run out from the light of the empty tomb, and they all go into the darkest places. In fact, they look for the places of darkness and despair and hurt and heartache. Some don't have to travel very far to find it, just around the corner, in fact. Some go very far to the ends of the earth. And every one of these Christians carry the same thing with them. One of them may be a pastor who stands in front of a grieving family at a funeral home. And in the middle of the service, she pulls out from her backpack this strange word. And she gives it to the family. Do you know what that word is? That word is resurrection. Resurrection. And she says to a family racked with grief these surprising words. She says, "You know, death is a hard word, but it is not the final word. Here, I give you the final word, resurrection." Another Christian is listening to his neighbor confess his anger and the broken relationship that resulted. Still another is volunteering at a detox center, and another is working at a refugee camp in Syria. And over again, eventually everyone opens their backpacks and they pull out this strange word and they bring it to where they are. They bring this word and they speak and they say things like this. They say, "You know, friend, this is bad. For you, it is the worst. And that is real. But I am here with another word. I am here to tell you that the worst thing is not the last thing. It is the next to last. Here, resurrection. Christ is risen." Sometimes there are no words, but the resurrection truth is revealed in love and actions. We offer resurrection with merely our presence in the broken of the world. And so it is that millions and millions of us leave the Easter tomb and we run not from the real world, but straight into it, bearing this strange new word, resurrection, on our backs and in our hearts. This is how we live in this world after the resurrection. We run from the tomb and we bring this surprising and wonderful word with us. And we plant ourselves waist deep in our world and with dirtied hands. And the time will come then when we unpack the word, and in various ways and words we proclaim Easter in this real, real world. How do we live in this world after Easter? We are realistic and we are hopeful. For we carry with us a gift that comes from beyond this world, and yet was given exactly for this world. It is a strange and new and wondrous word we bear, and that word is resurrection. Easter people, resurrection is our word to give away. So find your way out of this place. Please do not leave this word on your seat, or in the pew, or at the back door of the church. Take it with you out into your world, for you are Easter people. You have a story to tell to a desperate world that Christ is risen, that death is a hard word, but not the final word. And the worst thing in life is never the last thing. That's glorious news for the real world. Find your way out from the tomb. Find your word, words to speak the one word. Let resurrection be the word you give away. Christ is risen, alleluia, and amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.